title of the message tonight, this will be our concluding message for this week, is Becoming and Remaining a Biblical Family. Becoming and Remaining a Biblical Family. I do want to encourage you not to be different for different sake, but to be biblical for biblical sake. We can easily say, well, the world's this way, so I want to be this way, and I want to magnify myself and be different, and that is a work of the flesh that's not of God. We are to be biblical, and being biblical means that we will be different from this world. The family is anti-cultural today, as we looked at Sunday morning. So what we want to do tonight is to kind of go back over what we learned all week this week. And we've learned a lot in a short time. And as I mentioned earlier, there's much more that we could have looked at. Let me say this, we have a choice to make, as we do every day. But we have a choice to make how we will respond to what we've learned this week. How we will respond to the Word of God. We can either hear and obey it, or we can hear and disobey it, or we can just ignore it altogether. This is a choice that you and I have to make. We started out by looking at the family as being anti-cultural. And as we have gone through this week, it's obvious the family is anti-cultural. This is a good way to examine ourselves, our own families, to see where we're at. We saw in Romans chapter 1 the different stages that a people or a nation goes through. And we also see where America is at today. And I think we can all agree and say that it does not look good for America, the direction that we're headed. The message of a biblical family is not accepted, and we know it's not accepted in the culture in which we live, in the world, in the lost community, but I'm finding out more and more, even this week from teaching on this, this is not accepted in the church today. The church has been so ingrained with this culture, so ingrained with going out and making the almighty dollar that we've put the family to the side for our own successes. People hate it and don't want to hear it. And as I mentioned, even among those who are born again, there isn't only opposition from the culture, but also from many who are inside the church who view this as messing up their lifestyle. A biblical family is portrayed today as a threat to society. It's portrayed as a drag on society. It's portrayed as a interruption of peace and happiness. We also learned this week about a spirit-filled, controlled family. Spirit-filled, controlled by the spirit family in Ephesians 5:18. And again, I want to stress here, this is not us getting more of the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit getting more of us. You and I being controlled by the Holy Spirit. We learned that you cannot make a spirit-filled person mad. Let me insert this here also. This doesn't mean that we do certain things or say certain things to appear to be spiritual. That's not what being filled with the Holy Spirit is. But that when you and I are controlled by the Spirit, there are evidences in our lives that we are controlled by the Spirit. We see these in verses 19 through 21, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. These are some of the results of being controlled by the Spirit. One of the other results or some things we looked at and we learned this week is that when you and I are controlled by the Spirit and when in our homes, then we will not be arguing amongst ourselves. We'll not be fighting and disputing amongst ourselves. We won't be complaining or debating, and we won't be in competition amongst each other or with each other. We will put the needs of others before our own needs. We will quickly forgive when others trespass against us. When we are controlled by the Spirit, we will submit ourselves one to another. Without being controlled by the Holy Spirit, this is almost impossible. Submitting is to allow oneself to be a subjection to another. And I want to stress this here tonight, that this is a choice we've got to make. Submitting ourselves to allow ourselves to be a subjection one to another. This is where our pride wants to swell up and our pride wants to proclaim, no, I will not do that. I don't mind singing hymns and giving thanks always and all things, but I'm not submitting to her or to his needs. Let me say, this is evidence that you're not controlled by the Holy Spirit. And this means that all those other things that you're doing in the power of the flesh. When you say no, the old man just rose up. Verses 19 through 21 are tough verses. We have the influence of this present evil world against us. And most of all, we have our own fallen nature against us. This spiritual warfare is not something to take lightly. All these evidences go together. The first person in the family that we looked at is the wives. Wives, verse 22, submit. She is given a specific command to submit. This is to submit oneself, to be subject, to be obedient, to place in order. And wives, please understand, this is a choice that you make. Listen, we are not spiritual robots. I would love it if we were. Click a button, boop, I will obey God 100% today. Good to go. But we're not spiritual robots. We have a choice to make. Ladies, you have a choice to make with whether or not you will submit to your own husbands in everything or not. This is contrary to our nature, as we've learned. As a result of the fall, the desire of the woman is to rule over men, and the desire of the wife is to rule over her husband. We saw the most important place for the wife to be is at where? Home. The home is her domain. Being home is not something to take lightly, as we learned this week from Proverbs chapter 31 when looking at the virtuous woman. And let me say this, we desperately need more virtuous women today. Then we looked at the husband. In verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Husbands are commanded to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And again, I want to say it again. This is a choice that we make. We are to love with a biblical love, not a Hollywood or a postcard love. There is not one thing in particular about our wives that should cause us to love them. We should love them for who they are. We are not to treat our wives as if they are inferior to us. She is God's gift to us. We are to love her as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. We also learn that a husband is supposed to give his family the Word of God. He's supposed to know the Word of God, study the Word of God. They have questions, they come to him, he's supposed to be able to answer these questions or find the answers. He does this lovingly because it's beneficial to all. And the Word of God gives stability to a home. It is also the cleansing agent in a home. We're to love our wives unconditionally, and nothing should be able to separate our love for our wives and our families. We look at Romans chapter 8 for this example of Jesus and his bride, the church. Husbands, this is a choice that we have to make every day for the rest of our lives. The next thing we looked at this week was the children. And of course, we know that Jared did not want this recorded, so he allowed his Bible to hit the stop button on the recording machine. Amen. And so we got 19 minutes. I guess he had all he could take of children obey. And whoops, voila, there it is, hit stop. And of course, we're just messing with Jared. We know we didn't do it on purpose. Because I'll email his dad the transcripts anyway, and his dad can preach it to him. But in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, the children are commanded to obey. And children, as it is with the wives, and as it is with the husbands, this is a choice that you must make. I would love to be able to say God is in control of all these things. I'm not saying that God's not sovereign, I promise you. I believe God's sovereign. But you and I, as children of God, have a choice to make. Whether we will or whether we won't obey the Word of God. We are commanded to obey. This implies receiving instruction and obeying it. We looked at many scriptures about the blessings of obedience and the consequences of disobedience. We looked in Proverbs at multiple scriptures. We looked at some illustrations with Absalom. Children, listen. We are to honor our parents until the day that we die. And we here means all of us, because we are all children. Then last night we learned about raising our children. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. We learned that you and I as parents, as mothers, and as fathers, we are not to provoke our children to wrath. And again, this is a choice that we have to make. We are to care for them and bring them up, raise them up, establish them, to nurture them, to build them up, make them strong in the Lord. We are to admonish them. This is correction with instruction. We've learned that you don't just whip your kids just to whip them. Amen. But when you whip them, you instruct them why they're getting a whipping. You instruct them on why the rod is being laid to this designated area that God made. And if you instruct them, then they'll know why they're getting a whipping. Then they'll know what's going to happen next time they do that same thing. This is correction, or this correction and this discipline is hands-on personal training. It's hard work. Hard work. Parenting is not easy. Not easy at all. And for someone who is a lazy parent, will have a child that will be provoked to rebellion, be spoiled. We also learned last night that many folk put their children on medicine. But it is the parents' God-given responsibility to raise their own children. It's not someone else's responsibility to raise your children. It's your responsibility. We also saw the blessings of obedience and the consequences of disobedience here. All these commands here, wives submit, husbands love, children obey, fathers, provoke not. All these commands imply us to stop doing something and to start doing the opposite. Wives are to stop not submitting and start submitting. Husbands are to stop not loving and start loving. Children are to stop disobeying and start obeying. Parents are to stop provoking and start not provoking and raising their children biblically. And all this is to be done as unto the Lord. This is the inspired word. We understand that God used Paul to write it, but this is the inspired word of God written for you and I. This is God telling us what to do. Now we have all this information. What do we do with it? What do we do with it? Well, we ought to apply it. Don't deceive yourself into thinking that you are doing everything exactly right. I've talked to a few people this week just discussing some of the things we've learned this week, and we've all agreed that we're all coming up short. In some areas, very short. So what's the first thing we need to do? Confess this to the Lord. Confession is simply agreeing with God with what He's already said. You are agreeing with the Word of God, Wives, confess that you're not submitting. Confess you don't want to submit. Husbands, confess that you're not loving your wife as Christ loved the church. Children, confess that you're not listening and obeying. And parents, confess that you have been provoking. Confess this sin. This is sin. And repent from it. Turn from this sin and do what the Bible says to do. And I'm not trying to beat a dead horse here, but if the Bible says to submit, what do? You ought to submit. Bible says love, love. Obey, obey. Don't provoke, don't provoke. Again, this is a choice that we have to make. This involves crucifying the flesh. This is hard. It's painful. But it's beneficial for all. We can look and say, I'm not where I need to be at, so I'm just going to throw my hands up and quit. No, that's not what the Bible's telling us to do here. Understand that God's mercies are new every day. Listen, we messed up yesterday, didn't we? We messed up today, didn't we? Guess what? Newsflash. We're going to mess up tomorrow, too. But we can get up in the morning and start over and strive to do right as unto the Lord. His mercies are new every day. We can strive to be biblical. There are steps that we must take to line up with the Bible. So the question is, what steps do I need to take? Well, the first thing that we must be is controlled by the Holy Spirit. He's the one that leads us, guides us, and directs us according to the Word of God. He will always point us to Jesus Christ and not to ourselves. It is by Him that we have the power to live unto the Lord. Strive to do what the Bible says. A good example here would be the wife biblically keeping the home. You may not presently be in the position to clear cut where you're at and start being the keeper of your home. But you can pray and begin now and start taking steps to get where you need to be. For some folk, this may take years. So start in that direction now. As soon as you can, I want to encourage you to come home and keep the family. Or keep your home. Do it. Don't make excuses. We're full of excuses. That is an area where a step may need to be taken. Let me tell you an area where steps don't need to be taken. It's just a simple command and a simple act of obedience. Wives, what? Submit. Simple. Boom, boom. Husbands, what? Love. Boom, boom. We have no excuse. We ought to start loving today. Children ought to start obeying today. And parents ought to stop provoking today. But as I've been saying, I'm going to say it again. This is your choice. It's your choice. There are blessings for obedience. There are consequences for disobedience. We looked at two things that destroy a home. Selfishness and unforgiveness. So let's end this week looking at forgiveness. Unforgiveness is like a disease that spreads through the body. Now folks, I know that we know we've all made mistakes, and we will all make mistakes. No one here is perfect. There's going to be times that the old man's going to rise up. Then we have regret. We can look at ourselves and say, I messed up so much that there's no use in trying to do right. This is a lie of the devil. We can look at others and say, they messed up so much I can't forgive them. This is also a lie of the devil. Just like how love is a choice, forgiveness is a choice. This implies that unforgiveness is also a choice. It's not that you can't forgive, but that you won't forgive. Husbands, your wives, have they not been submitting? You got to forgive them. Wives, have your husbands not been loving you as Christ loved the church? You must forgive them. Children, are your parents provoking you to wrath? You must forgive them. Parents, are your children not obeying? You must forgive. This is a choice that must be made. Look in Matthew chapter 18, please. Matthew chapter 18. There's a parable on forgiveness. In verse 21 is where we'll start. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him till seven times? Sounds good, don't it? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. And what he's saying there is that you are to continually to forgive every offense all the time. Then he gives a parable. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven like unto a certain king which would take account of a servant, and when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. And this number, listen folks, is unpayable. A debt that could not be paid. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out, and the same servant that had just been forgiven a debt that's unpayable went out, and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Did we not just see this? And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors. And he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Forgiveness brings reconciliation. Forgiveness is you and I being like God. When I say like God, I'm not talking about being equal with God, but it means that we're reflecting God. Forgiveness brings peace. It brings joy. And understand this, the offense against God is greater than the offense against you. Even more the reason to forgive them and pray for them. So forgive and continue to forgive. Offenses will come every day. Listen, I don't care how much you desire, please don't take this the wrong way, how much you desire, wives, for you to submit, there's going to be days when the old man will rise up and you will not submit. I mean, you just outright you'll blow your top. You may throw a spaghetti pan. You may throw a piece of fried chicken at your husband. If you do that, the church will pray for you. Amen. Husbands may come and have a terrible day. Listen, you're striving, you're trying, and you want to do right according to the Bible. You do love your wife. But then there's those days that you just blow up also. Children, you are striving and striving to obey. You want to please your parents. You want to honor them to bring their name honor and glory, not reproach, not blasphemy. Then there's those days that you mess up also. Again, confess your sins. Confess where you mess up. And parents, you and I, we want to raise our children without provoking them. Again, we're going to mess up. What I'm saying is that this circle goes round and round and round. We're all going to be messing up. So we all need to be forgiving one another. Offenses will come every day. And as a Christian, you and I have a choice to make. Again, we are not spiritual robots. God has forgiven you and I. And by the gift of the Holy Spirit, we can forgive others and live unto Jesus Christ. Now, here's an excuse that people like to use. Hear it on a regular basis. Wives say, I would submit if my husband would love me more. No, that's not what the Bible says. Husbands say, I would love my wife if she'd submit. That's not what the Bible says. Children say, I would obey if my parents wouldn't provoke me. That's not what the Bible says. You have no control over someone else whatsoever. You have to do right. Wives, you've got to submit. Husbands, you've got to love. And children, you've got to obey. Be biblical. Even if no one else is, it is worth it. It is your choice. We've learned again this week much about becoming a biblical family. We could give an invitation and people come to the altar or pray where you're at. Say those things that you would normally say. Go through the motions and go home and keep living life like you've been living it. But we're not going to do that tonight. We're not going to give an invitation. I want to encourage you to chew on what we've learned this week and go home and apply these things in your lives. Think about them. Dwell on them. Beg God for help, for grace, that you and I may be a biblical family and remain a biblical family. Listen, you are a light in your community. A light. Be that light. Be a biblical family. Remain a biblical family. We'll stop here tonight. This will conclude our conference this week. Let me say this. Thank y'all so much for being faithful. Y'all are very encouraging, very encouraging. Y'all have came every night this week. Amen. I trust that means you want to learn and that you want to do and that you do want to bring honor and glory to the Lord. Amen. Pray one for another. Abound in the things of God. Abound in the Word of God. It's worth it. It's worth it. To God be the glory.